From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Miller reporting. U.S. National Security Advisor H.R. McAllister said Tuesday that information about terrorism and threats to international aviation that President Donald Trump shared with Russian diplomats last week was wholly appropriate and did not compromise U.S. intelligence sources.
Well, as you know, the president, it's wholly appropriate for the president to share whatever information he thinks is necessary to advance the security of the American people. That's what he did. As to your question on had that information been shared previously, I'm not sure about that.
A U.S. president has the power to declassify nearly any information, so what Trump did does not appear to be illegal. But intelligence officials quoted by the newspapers expressed concern that the information provided by a U.S. partner government could harm crucial international relationships. McAllister stood by his account from the day before that the premise of U.S. news accounts was false and that Trump had divulged highly classified information to Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and Moscow's ambassador to the U.S., Sergei Kislyak, at a meeting at the White House. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi says President Donald Trump's comments to Russian officials at the White House undermined the trust that other countries will have in the U.S. in terms of sharing their intelligence. President Donald Trump welcomed Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan to the White House today. This comes after President Trump sparked anger in Turkey by authorizing and arming Syrian Kurds. Trump said the two leaders would hold long and hard discussions regarding the relationship between their countries. Erdogan called the decision to provide U.S. arms contrary to our strategic relations to the U.S. The U.S. sees the Kurdish force, the YPG, as a key part in the fight against Islamic State. This is VOA. Cybersecurity experts admit the technical evidence linking North Korea to global WannaCry ransomware cyber attacks is somewhat tenuous, but Pyongyang has the advanced cyber capabilities and the motive to compensate for lost revenue due to economic sanctions. Since Friday, the WannaCry software virus has infected more than 300,000 computers in 150 countries, paralyzing factories, banks, government agencies, hospitals, and transportation systems across the globe. On Monday, analysts said some code in an earlier version of the WannaCry software had also appeared in programs used by the Lazarus Group, which has been identified by some industry experts as a North Korea-run hacking operation. Semantic researcher Eric Chin.
And right now, we've uncovered a couple of what we would call weak indicators or weak links between WannaCry and this group that's been previously known as Lazarus. Lazarus was behind the attacks on Sony and the Bangladesh banks, for example. But these indicators aren't enough for us to definitively say it's Lazarus at all yet.
The countries most affected by the WannaCry to date are Russia, Taiwan, Ukraine, India, according to the Czech security firm Avast. North Korea claims that its newly tested ballistic missile can carry a nuclear warhead appeared to explain the subtle but significant shift in the way U.S. intelligence views Pyongyang. Top officials who once described North Korea as a second-tier adversary with more intent than capability now refer to it as an increasingly grave threat bent on demonstrating that the United States will soon be within its military reach. Current and former officials, however, cautioned the intelligence community's use of increasingly stronger language to describe the threat from North Korea, as it is not so much a change in thinking as it is a stark acknowledgement of an evolving threat. The UN Security Council is set to hold a closed-door meeting today on North Korea's latest missile test, a day after condemning the launch and threatening to impose new sanctions. The council signaled Monday that it was ready to act against North Korea because of its flagrant and provocative defiance of earlier demands to end all nuclear testing. Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte said he was open to exploring the South China Sea's natural resources with rival claimants China and Vietnam after securing a windfall in Beijing. Remains unclear what that windfall may be. Duterte also emphasized he has no immediate plans to pressure China over an international tribunal ruling last year that said Beijing's sweeping claims of most of the South China Sea were unlawful. He emphasized the deal would have to be fair and balanced. Duterte made no mention of Malaysia and Brunei, the two other Southeast Asian nations that also have claims in the South China Sea. You can find more news and updates on our website, voanews.com. I'm Steve Miller in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.